Okay, in order to resume our study, we will pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we're grateful to you for yet another opportunity to continue in the pursuit of your word. It is our prayer that as we provide the positive volition, that we would be instructed by the Holy Spirit in order that we might continue our pursuit of your immutable word. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We left off with a couple of slides and visuals on point 9 and following. I wanted to go through both of those visuals in time. Of course, I went a little long, 10 minutes worth, I think. And because of electronic contrivances, I caused the first session to go to a point to where the gizmos had to shut down because of the rules that they have. But they are going to piece together the missing comments on the first session once we get done here today. And the first session will have its entirety online if you're interested in any of the comments I made toward the end of the first session. I will repeat what we were looking at as time closed, and therefore then proceed with our study on page 649. Point 9, that they are not followed, that's the concepts and ideas that we were discussing up to that point. That they are not followed is proof positive that the perfect environment established in Eden was lost because the free will of man chose to violate divine standards. Now, if that is ever made evident, and we've had many opportunities in the past, but what we have presently is the overthrow of client nation America. I don't know how it will play out in time, but the reason it is occurring is the loss of thought by believers in client nation America. We have lost the thought to such a degree that cosmos diabolicus has intruded, and they have become the element that fills in the three dots that we're discussing in James. Just right in the current chaos in America fills in the three dots of that ellipsis. And there are many things that you can plug into that, and this is one of them. We are in a very dangerous situation as a nation. We have leadership that has lost control. And the real sad part about it is the loss of control was on purpose. The whole desire is to transform this country into something it has never been. And that is designed to be something quite different. I think that our freedoms are right on the verge of being lost. There is hope, because we don't know what's in the three dots. But there is hope that sanity can return before the complete destruction of client nation America occurs. I can tell you that I have been here a good long while. I'm 81 years old. When I was born was before World War II. And everything that's occurred since then has been a gradual decline in the freedoms we enjoy in this country. It all began shortly after World War I. And there it has been a steady decline, gradual as it has been in the past, but recently it has gone into overdrive. And there are evil people in this country that want to transform what we have come to know as a free society. And there's so many examples that you can see as you go through the day and as you observe the various media made available to you. But it's a sad time, but nothing unusual. All the priest nations of Israel made poor decisions. And as a result of that, they were overwhelmed by their enemies, and they were varied. And therefore, they were phased out in the first century. And client nation, Rome, emerged, and therefore the Christians were allowed to function in the Roman Empire, and did so for about a millennium. And then when that began to play out, then believers began to move westward. And several client nations emerged over time, all the way to what we would call today England. And that is where, again, because they swapped kings all the time, and queens for that matter, and they would have their ridiculous ideas, and then you'd have a good one, then you'd have a bad one and a good one, and then there would go a bunch of bad ones, and suddenly people said, we want to get out of here. And they learned about a place you could go across the Atlantic Ocean and got on a boat and came over here. And as I pointed out, the first crowd to arrive on a client nation America was in Massachusetts. And there was even some prophecy involved in that you leaving one chaos and coming to potentially another. And here we are. We've had a wonderful run of almost 250 years, and now it's coming unwound. And you say, well, what can we do about it? Nobody has been able to figure that out up to this point. All the priest nations have fallen, all the client nations have fallen, except for this one, and it teeters. What have we got to replace it? That's it. I'm not looking at enough in this room. I'm not looking at enough in other doctrinal churches around this country from which I get reports that those who attend are shrinking in number. This is called loss of thought. And loss of thought is an idea that describes the loss of doctrinal input, retention, and application by those who call themselves serious students of the Word of God. What the next 2 years reveals will be quite amusing. That's called a relaxed mental attitude about it, because you can't get too hot and bothered about what's going on. You have to do your duty and keep growing in grace. But nevertheless, what we've got is the takedown of a client nation. What's going to be the result of it? I don't know. You can make your own prophecies, but you can't go past three dots, so you don't really know. But what seems to be on the agenda is not a pretty sight. If you like freedom, enjoy it while you've got it, because it is something that's going to be potentially taken away over the next 2 years. Now, that's not a prophecy. It's a maybe so. You can be a part of the three dots if you keep growing in grace. Let's take a look at another visual. This is where we left off, and this is the visual we were analyzing when I went overtime. And I understand from Paul that when all of this is over today, they can go back and patch in what I said at the conclusion of the first session. But we ran out of time, and Paul, and he's a guru of the voodoo, he can fix this, and the first session will be complete by the time you get back home. Nevertheless, this is the timeline of the angelic conflict. This explains what's going on right now. It's just something that goes on throughout what we call time. The universe was created, the angels were created, the angels did this, so they had a big war. They had fallen angels and elect angels. You have believers and unbelievers, and the chaos has continued, swapping three dots along the way. Everybody gets a three-dot challenge, and then things move on. And here we are, right on the verge of taking what was a fantastic client nation and flushing it down the tubes in about 2 years. Timeline of the angelic conflict, there it sits right there. God's standards are immutable. Thus, violation of any one of them results in divine punishment, which entered the human race with the fall of man. That's when this started, and been nothing different ever since. Client nations have risen and they have fallen, and move to another piece of real estate. Rise, fall, move. Rise, fall, move. Well, we've run into the Pacific Ocean, haven't we? And nowhere to go. You say, well, there's more real estate further to the west. Really? What do we call that outfit? That would be China. Oh, and also Russia. Things do not look good. And I'll tell you, do you know what the three dots? The three dots include something that's hanging out there that few people recognize and realize. And that's called the rapture of the church. I can't prophesy that. That's the next prophetic event on the calendar. Could occur today. It might not. Don't know, because we can't get past the three dots. So what we have to do in the interim is continue to grow in grace. Therefore, point 10 again, God's standards are immutable. Thus, violation of any one of them results in divine punishment, which entered the human race with the fall of man. Therefore, when believers opt for human viewpoint, human good and evil, then to that degree, peace, order, and prosperity gradually transforms the zeitgeist so that disorder impacts and prevails for everyone. Now, history's first rebellion happened in Eden when Adam violated the divine command to not eat the forbidden fruit. His doing so resulted in the fall of the northern kingdom, the fall of man, but recently studied the rebellion which occurred in pre-station northern kingdom. That was during the reign of Ahab and Jezebel. The rebellion presently threatening the downfall of client nation America is led by a host of ham actors repeating their lines, but whose strings are being pulled by those moneyed rebels who oppose the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, and subsequent amendments. There's a formula for the takedown of client nation America right now. We are free to be here and study the Word and take those concepts and ideas and then use those to analyze the current zeitgeist. It is not a pretty picture. You are the ones that can cause this to hold the fort. We've lost the thought in Christianity in this country. When that happens, another client nation falls while another one arises, but there's nowhere else to go. So we have the prophecy of the rapture of the church. Can I tell you that it's going to occur real soon? No, I can tell you that it's the next prophetic event on the prophetic calendar. When it occurs is God's business. Our duty is to keep growing in grace and hold the fort as long as we can individually and as long as we can as individuals, as members of the royal family. Therefore, when believers opt for human viewpoint, human good and evil, then to that degree, peace, order, and prosperity gradually transforms the zeitgeist so that disorder impacts and prevails for everyone. History's first rebellion happened in Eden when Adam violated the divine command to not eat the forbidden fruit. His doing so resulted in the fall of man. We recently studied the rebellion which occurred in the priest nation noted as the northern kingdom during the reign of Ahab and Jezebel. That was our study of the reckoning. The rebellion presently threatening the downfall of client nation America is led by a host of ham actors repeating their lines, but whose strings are being pulled by those moneyed rebels who oppose the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, and subsequent amendments. Bottom line, every thought, decision, and action committed by Homo sapiens were eternally known to God. Every thought, decision, and action you've ever committed or will in the future were known to Him in eternity past. How well are you doing? Therefore, the phrase, if God wills, refers to the divine decree, and if the Lord desires is a good translation for this context. What does a good Lord desire? Invisible heroes on the battlefields of the invisible war. If you're not armed and ready to do your duty with invisible concepts, ideas, principles, and doctrines, then you are not a good soldier for Christ. That is the ace in the hole here. So this emphasizes the divine decree. God's decrees advise against these two men thinking well of their plan and therefore intend to execute. Therefore, God, through James, advises the men with grace orientation to then decide, we will live and also do this or that. So James gives great advice to these men by reminding them of the divine decree and our place in that decree. With arrogance, they are not qualified to make choices without consultation with a divine viewpoint. They are not enabled to make good decisions when they function outside the divine dynasphere. That is the environment in which you're filled with the Holy Spirit and have, therefore, the Holy Spirit's ability to recall doctrine for you so you can apply it in your personal life. It's confession alone to God alone turns that system on. They're not enabled to make good choices when they function outside the divine dynasphere, most assuredly while in reversionism. This failure is why their first three assertions are not absolutes in verse 13, but really guesswork. It is pertinent to remember the definition and details of the doctrine of the divine decree. So we need to engage that for a few minutes. We have a definition that will introduce this. The decree of God is His eternal, holy, wise, and sovereign purpose, comprehending simultaneously all things that ever were or will be and their causes, conditions, successions, relations, and determining their certain futurition. That's paragraph one of what you see on the board. It goes on to read this way. The decree of God is His eternal and immutable will regarding the future existence of events which will happen in time and regarding the precise order and manner of their occurrence. The divine decree is the eternal plan by which God has rendered certain all the events of the universe, including both angelic and human history, past, present, and future. God's decree rendered all things as certain to occur. In doing so, He did not interfere with angelic and human free will. In fact, He decreed that we would have free will. Now there's one more, the computer of the divine decree. This particular visual encapsulates all that goes on. We have the concept of omniscience. Who's got that? Well, that's God. He has eternally known all that is knowable from the very beginning and continues to do so, including your thoughts, decisions, and actions. So there are these potentialities, things that could occur in human history but do not, and therefore they're not decreed. So if you want to try to think up something that could trump the potential, then that would suddenly be in the decree, you see. Now let's take a look at what actually occurs. The absolute reality of events that do occur in human history. What would they be in summary? There would be printouts. There would be foreknowledge. There would be predestination. And there would be election. Foreknowledge means nothing can be known until it is first decreed. God does the decreeing. So he knew in eternity past every thought, decision, and action you would ever have, and he decreed it. Then there's predestination. Predestination is the provision of God's sovereignty to execute God's plan, purpose, and will for your life. The provision of God's sovereignty. And then election. Election is the plan of God for believers only. Faith alone in Christ alone. So there's the sovereignty of God's chip, the ROM chip. That's who he is. Therefore, it defines him totally. The free will of man chip, you program that with your decisions, your free will concepts, and so on. Together, they therefore result in the printout, which we've just defined. So the decision maker of the soul, that's over the free will of man. God has created a free will which can act independently of himself. And then under the asterisk, God's supreme authority and rule over all he creates. So these are very important concepts here in this computer of the divine decree. How do things work? Who's involved in it and how do they do so? This, therefore, is a summary of who and what God is and then what he has created through Homo sapiens. And there are two factors involved in this. First of all, you have the sovereignty of God. That's who he is. And all of his attributes continue to be the same because the Bible says so. He wouldn't be God if it wasn't true. Then the promship has to do with your free will. How about that? You were born. You did a lot of crying and mewling. Then you started taking on one-syllable words. And then they finally decided that you weren't going to amount to much of anything and sent you to somebody's school, get you some learning. You started out, some people went to kindergarten. I went to Miss Julia Walters' kindergarten. I remember doing a lot of singing. Then there was the first grade. And then there was the second grade. Second grade was where my educational career came to a close. I was told to stand up and read from a book that had mostly pictures on each page. And underneath were these words. And I was told by Mrs., I won't call her name. I have names for her, but I won't call her name. She wanted me to read that. Now get a load of this. I don't know how old a person is when they're in the second grade, but I think it's single digits. And I would try to read what was at the bottom of the page, and if I messed up with it, she had this board that she would whack me across the gluteus if I couldn't get my mind around communicating what was on the page. So we didn't get off to a good start. Then there was a third grade, and on it went dramatically onward. And so finally I got out of high school. And then my dad said to me, nobody can make it in this life unless you go to college. And I didn't say this to him because it would have been the wrong thing to do. But I thought, oh, help me, Jesus. I've got to go to school again, which was only 1 mile away. I said, I'll go to Troy University. It's just a mile away. I can walk. So I went up there and started taking courses again. And they would say, well, this is required. You take this, that, and the other thing. I say, well, that's pretty easy. They've got it all mapped out for me. So I did whatever I was told for 2 years. And then my dad said to me, when you get to be a junior, you have to declare a major. And I said, when they asked me, what am I going to say? That's what he wanted to know. I said, I don't know. I think I'll do something in sports. He says, you can't major in sports. You got to know something when you get out of college. And I said, okay, fine. Then I said to him, I think I want to go into television. He said, well, write Auburn and tell them you want to enroll and major in sports. And I said, okay. So I wrote Auburn. I said, I want to go into television and radio if necessary. And so they wrote back and said, we don't have a major like that here. In fact, we don't have majors at Auburn. And so they said, in fact, the only school in the whole state that has a degree in broadcasting is up in Tuscaloosa. That was just a horrible day for me, because I had all these cousins that went to Auburn and actually graduated. And so I couldn't go to Auburn because they didn't have a television major. So I decided to go to Alabama, and they had one. And so I stayed there long enough to get a degree. Then I went to work in television, and you know the rest of the story. But the whole story is I'm constantly going to schools. It was kindergarten, and then it was grammar school, and then it was high school, and then it was half a college down at Troy, and a whole college up at Tuscaloosa. And finally, I graduate and get a job down in Montgomery at WSFA Television. And I'm thinking, thank God I'm out of school. Thank Jesus I'm out of school. Then I had to learn the television business from the inside. And then one day, a guy came to town and said, we're going to put on a crusade here, and I need some people that will help me pull this together. We need somebody that can do publicity. And I said, oh, I can do that for you. Yeah, that's nothing. And then this guy said, when he summed up all the people that had been accumulated to pull off this crusade, figured out who we all were, he said, I'll be back every 2 weeks. And by the way, we're going to start having Bible class when I'm down here. We thought, oh, man, this is getting worse. I volunteered for this, and now I have to do Bible class. This is getting ridiculous. But nevertheless, I showed up. And that is when he took something like this and flipped it open to a book called James. And it said, turn to this page. It took a while for us to find James. It's only got 3 pages. And it said, the opening verse says this, this is James, and I'm writing this book. That's basically what the first verse says. Then the second verse actually has a verb. He put that, it was a chalkboard, he put that up on the board and wrote out whatever that verb was in English. And then he wrote underneath in a scribbling looking thing, this is what it looks like in Greek. Then he broke that down. This verb means thus and so. And what James is saying is this and that. And over at the stadium, they have all of these lights that go on when a football game is going on. Over the ballpark, at night, they can light that thing up like Dallas. That's what went on in that room for me. The lights went on. I had seen my first verb exegeted. It is pertinent to remember the definition of the details of the doctrine of divine decree. Definition, the decree of God is. And I have just shown you the visuals. Computer, the divine decree. Definitions of it. Omniscience, escrow, and so on. Look at this. When you take a look at a set of verses, this is Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4. What's going on here is the breakdown of what's in those two verses. Escrow and election in eternity past. Do you know what escrow is? Do you know what election is? That's buried in the early verses of Ephesians, which is one of those types of books that have super duper doctrines. Ephesians. Worthy of praise is God. Okay, fine. I'm good with that. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've got lineage here. Jesus Christ, who is he? He is the Son of God the Father. And then we got who, capital W, as first party or grantor. Who has blessed, aorist active participle of the verb, we have eulogeo. Creation of an escrow account. You have an escrow account through faith in Christ. Who has blessed us, believers, second party, therefore we're grantees. We receive the blessing. With every spiritual blessing, the contents of the escrow, we have all these spiritual blessings suddenly occur when you place your faith in Christ. With every spiritual blessing, the contents of the escrow in heavenly places, that's the depository. You've got stuff in heaven because you placed your faith in Christ. They're yours for eternity, and you will get them when you die. That's the depository. In Christ, that's the third party, the escrow officer, the depositary. So we have the Trinity being involved in this whole process. Then Ephesians 1:4. Notice the comma, he's not through yet. Since he himself has elected, that's the main verb, eklego, he himself has elected who? Us. We've been elected. In him, who's that? Jesus. Before the beginning of the world. That's creation, Genesis 1:1. This happened before the creation of the universe. Because God knows all that's knowable from eternity past. There's never been a time he doesn't know anything. And by the way, there's nothing new about that. If God is God, he's always existed and he's always known all that is knowable. Got that? So, he himself has elected eklego, us, in him before the beginning of the world, that's Genesis 1:1, that, in order that, we should be holy and blameless in his presence. Note the aorist active participle precedes the action of the main verb and so on. Now what these two verses display is that once you place your faith in Christ, there's an entire future ahead for you in time and in eternity, and it's delineated in Scripture, and therefore when you get through with your duties here in the devil's world, regardless of the exigencies you face, regardless of the positive things that occur in your life, this is the invisible war. You're supposed to have problems and trials. You use doctrine to overcome them. You use doctrine, therefore, to promote ideas and concepts. Stay in fellowship, grow in grace, apply what you know. They are immutable. They are immutable. Know these things and God honors them when you apply them. If you don't believe that, then you just haven't been at this long enough because you hadn't applied enough to see God do things that are absolutely magical. In fact, I'm standing here as magic. Escrow and election eternity past. Well, I can say, again, I've got a problem with the clock. The least I could do is finish this page, but I've only just got 2 points done. And I don't know what to do because I went long in the first session and like for 10 or 15 minutes and the guys, whoever these guys are, Paul's buddies, the other gurus, they were screaming bloody murder. What's wrong with this guy? and everything went to pot. And then Paul says, we can glue that back together as soon as you get done. So he's got some gluing to do. And now time is up. He have already gone 3 minutes long. I think we have a... No, I don't have that. This is the 26th, isn't it? Don't look. We have another Bible class Wednesday evening. Be there, and we will continue our study at that point. Father, we thank you for the opportunity and privilege of studying these things today, which are emblematic of the responsibilities that we have permanently in the hostile environment of the devil's world. May we be motivated and encouraged to continue that pursuit as we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.